Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in a good mood today. Let's get this show started. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of kings himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have somebody.
Yeah, that sounded quite angry, Mr. Hot Rod. Sean Black in the building once again. Good grief. You know, we're creeping a little closer and closer to that 200th episode. So maybe by then you'll actually be sober.
Nah, not happening.
And it was worth a try.
And on the phone line, I have the president of the hashtag Shut the Hell Up Hot Rod movement. I have Tisha in the house.
Definitely the president of that.
Really? I knew you were like that. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, you know the number to call by now. It's not 911. We're not that emergency. The number is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Tisha, Sean Black, a lot of people were pissed off over the weekend. Do you still want to continue to piss people off today?
Well, we might as well show them how it's done.
Oh, yes. All right. It's not no shocker. We did talk about this last week about the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, Tisha's boy.
Yes.
I know she's very excited about the news over the weekend, which is not a shocker to any of us, that the votes that it went through, I believe it was 51 to 49.
Actually, the vote. 50 to 48, actually.
Or 50 to 48. I knew it was two up. But whatever. It was like one of the tightest votes ever, quote unquote. But let's get right to it. Tisha, I know you're not surprised by the confirmation. But like I asked you over the weekend, Senator Susan Collins made a big case on Friday for her support for Brett Kavanaugh, basically saying that, you know, what he did or he didn't do was in the past. It should not affect the job now. What was your reaction right away when you saw Susan Collins? And basically, how can you tie that to woman empowerment? Like, do you see her as a betrayer? Like, you know, she betrayed the woman movement.
You want to know what's interesting, what you asked on that as far as with her betraying the woman movement. Anytime you have a movement, you're going to have somebody that's going to betray it. It doesn't matter if it's a woman or not. But in this situation, I don't see it as so much so a woman's betrayal as far as the movement, because this to me is way, way bigger than just the Me Too movement. This is about Brett Kavanaugh's character. So if you're going for something such as the Supreme Court, the highest court, they're going to be looking at everything from your date of birth all the way up. So why something like this, you know, with him, with the sexual assault, we can call it, coming up is such a surprise. They wanted to do a quick investigation. Trump was certain that he's going to get the position. Regardless of whatever investigation was going on, it's called corruption. It's a lot of corruption going on in this Trump government at this time. And if we don't wake up and see it like that and see the real meaning behind Make America Great, I don't know if people are looking at it like now, okay, the Me Too movement, this, that, the other. I think people are missing the biggest point here, that pretty soon it doesn't matter about your gender, your color, you just ain't going to have no rights in this country.
Wow, okay. But but on top of all of that, with the confirmation of the sexual assault, did they have to do anything overall of him getting a job, even though there was no solid evidence? I'm like, let's be honest, a week of investigation was probably enough for something that happened 35 years ago, give or take.
Okay, so I get what you're saying, Hot Rod. He's going up for, like I said, the Supreme Court, okay? You're going to be making decisions on things no different than things like this may come up with certain issues. You understand what I'm saying? You're going to be making even bigger final decisions. I want to know what your character is. You cannot be a person in a position of sexual assault and then you want to overturn or deny someone's appeal on sexual assault. Who the hell are you? Are you God?
But does he deserve a second chance overall? Can people mature over the years to make decisions like that overall? Anybody could change their mind at the last minute. Some senators did over the confirmation.
Okay. I just see a different picture.
I firmly believe that this entire confirmation came down to one simple math equation. 2P over 1P equals N. The 2P is party and power over 1P, which is the people in general. Meaning, the Republican Party in this entire confirmation circumstance valued power and their party over the people that they were supposed to be governing. The people that are supposed to have certain rights looked at. And I find it very ironic that somebody that's going to be given a lifetime job looking over a lot of laws, looking over a lot of decisions that are going to be impacting female rights, anything that has to do with abortion, reproductive rights, anything along those lines, is given, for the most part, given a job to govern over that. And you have sexual assault hanging over his head as a cloud. Now, do we know everything that's happened? No. The reason why, as you stated, Hot Rod, a lot of this happened well over 30 years ago. Second of all, we didn't have a full investigation. As you also pointed out, only 1 week. They only interviewed 9 people. And you cannot do an investigation, it's due diligence, if you're not going to give a full investigation. And the main reason why this was done was that the Republican Party, especially President Trump, who was trying to get a more conservative-leaning Supreme Court, wanted to make sure that that decision was pushed in, even at the sacrifice of a lot of the rights and a lot of the institutions that are there, to make sure that they have a lifelong gate of conservative thinking and conservative-leaning decisions to help them out in certain laws and certain decisions that they feel work for them and not overall the people. And it's crazy that when we look at what may happen when we look at the midterm elections, this is going to energize women voters, but we also know that Democrats are already energized, and I'm pretty sure Republicans are going to be energized. But to go and answer your other question is, in stating that does anybody deserve a second chance? Of course. We know that. This country is full of second chances. We all know that nobody is really the same person 100% of the time that they were when they were younger. As you get older, you learn certain things. But at the same time, not deserves it, not everybody actually does change or evolve. And that's part of the problem, because since there's no investigation, there's no way to really, really tell.
So before I go to K-Guards, so Tisha, like I told Sean over the weekend, one thing I give credit to about characters is to Ford. If I had to pick a side, I would pick the lady's side, of course. I'll tell what happened from her side of the story. Because, like I told Sean Black, Ford had nothing to lose. She told the story, and I think that's what people did not take into consideration, especially your so-called Senate. She told the story to therapists before it became out known to public. She told her close families and friends. She took up the test, the life detector test. So it's like, imagine all this happening, people still did not believe her or did not give her any credibility compared to a man who would have a lot to lose, a job, and credibility, to when off balance and through a big fit in front of millions of people on television. So should that question the ability of people, of our politics, our senators, of how they react to this type of situation?
if you looked at what happened when they announced just before the confirmation vote, when you saw all of those white male senators standing around Senator Grassley and standing around Mitch McConnell and all of the other guys and just saying the things that they were saying, the tone of their discussion and their pointed anger toward the media for this whole thing and then blaming it on the Democrats for bringing this up, forget about that. It took the tone, as we've said, stated many times before, that no matter what happens, a woman's opinion does not matter. In this day and age now, with the Me Too movement and all of the other things that have happened that have brought a heightened level of awareness towards the things that have happened to other women, we also have seen an uptick in people coming out and bringing out things that have happened. You're seeing 70 and 80 year olds that have been assaulted that have not told anybody for years and years and years coming out, calling up C-SPAN and going to the hotlines and bringing those things. Those are the kinds of things that have happened that have brought a lot of feelings to the forefront. But at the same time, it's that lack of, it's an ingrained upbringing that the old boys network wants to keep their power male-dominated, and keep their ideals as far as their money and their power to themselves, and be damned if any woman has any opinion or has any rights or anything that comes anywhere close to some sort of equality in making something even on the playing field for themselves to make themselves better. And that's what happens almost all the time. And this illustrated it to a T. From all the demonstrations up to the confirmation and everything else that happened, that was the overall discussion and feeling throughout this whole thing.
Okay. Well, now let me give it to someone who claims that he bought better headphones now, that he will sound better on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you K-Dog.
What's up, everybody?
What's going on?
Hey. Well, with all of this that's going on, is that the sad truth is that Kavanaugh's, you know, his getting into the Supreme Court, him being voted in, it's just the tip of the iceberg. You understand what I'm saying? So here's what I have to say about this. You know, it's been like, okay, for 2 years now, let's face it, Donald Trump, he's been filling up the federal judiciary with highly partisan judges like Kavanaugh, who threatens the rights of marginalized and vulnerable people in this country. Now, let's face it. Where do you think, now that Kavanaugh has gotten in to the Supreme Court, do you think that it's going to take, do you feel that the laws that were there to protect the regular people of this country are going to take two steps back, or is it going to take two steps forward? Question is open. Go ahead and answer.
I think that as far as this decision goes, it may take some time, but I think that the decision making that you're looking at is going to take some steps backwards.
Thank you for answering. Hot Rod?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Should you give me a T-shirt first? Tisha,
come on, girl. Come on.
I think it's gonna be going way, way back. That's what Make America Great is about. We're going back into slavery times.
I don't think it's going to go too far back, but I do think it is going to take a couple steps back.
Here's what's going to happen.
I don't know.
No, it's going to. You know what's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. Now that, you know, the far right feels that they could give themselves a pat on the back because of this Supreme Court, because of what they just put into the Supreme Court, they feel that they're going to be protected. So they're going to roll back every law. Every law that was there to protect the people.
I don't think so, Kato. Remember, there's a balance in the Supreme Court.
No, there is a balance. But there is a balance. But let's face it.
But you know, they're not going to throw everything back, I think.
But I believe
what you say is there will be a fall back. We will
there
take
will
two
be a
steps
fall
backwards.
Back. That's what I mean to say, a fall back. But guess what? Mm. Now here's the thing. Now, with the laws that were there to protect the people, let's think about it. Let's go back. Let's take a good look at what's going on now. Let's take a good look at it. See, with his votes, with all the things that he was saying that, okay, you're rolling back, you're going against Roe v. Wade. You understand what I'm saying? Roe v. Wade. Let's look at Roe v. Wade for a second. Now, you're going to deny the woman the right to choose? Is that what you're going to try to push back?
I wish I have an answer for that. But this type of Roe versus Wade have been going on for what, almost 30 years now? Maybe longer than this?
Over 45 years.
And is it surprising to any of us that this battle is still going on to this day?
Of course.
Not a surprise at all, because you got to remember a lot of the conservatives that are in office, especially conservative Republicans, they govern with the Bible, and
in a lot of instances they use
the Bible as the basis to abolish things that they don't feel comfortable having, where even if the people state otherwise, because we all know that the United States has become more and more progressive. Over the last decade, a lot of things have happened. A lot of things have changed. Gay marriage is on the docket in a lot of places. You also have a lot of people now in a lot of states legalizing marijuana. These kinds of progressive things have been happening for years, and a lot of the judges that are now in place want to try and take certain laws. If you get the right person in power to either loosen or roll back a lot of these laws, and although we have the checks and balances to make sure that you don't get too much power, because as the expression goes, absolute power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's something that has to be checked, and that's one of the reasons why these midterm elections are so important.
That was going to be my other question. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Since you're being the host tonight, what is your question, Kato?
Now with this going on, how do you think it's going to shape up the midterm elections come November?
Oh, I'll be happy to answer that first. And like I told Sean this earlier, yes, the midterm election will be the most important election of all time. It will be a balance. And believe it or not, Kato, I know you preach about it all the time. I do believe a lot of people will vote. But guess what? No matter what, the Republicans will still win. Because like Sean and I semi-agreed earlier before the show, the Democrats cannot get their act together because they are too weak. So as Sean mentioned earlier, between the check and balance of people using the Bible, you have these people in the Midwest that still believe in these Bible terms.
Evangelical Christians. The evangelical Christian, right, and many of them, the evangelical Christians in, like, the Midwest and even the South, they're all, like, you know, they're very conservative with their views. They have many views against gays, against a woman's right to choose. They have all of that. And, you know, many of them, you know, they're Bible-thumping Christians, which I call them hypocrites, but Bible-thumping Christians who will seek to vote for the very same people who share their views.
Okay.
You know, they'll vote with those people.
Keisha?
Oh, I don't have anything to say.
It seems like, as a woman, I could be wrong, Keisha, it's like, what can you say about this anymore? It's like, this situation is so stressful. It's so, like, out of balance. Like, as a woman, I could be
and
wrong.
It's sad.
What can you say about this anymore? It is a sad situation. It's like,
it is very
men,
sad.
The man with power is trying to control us overall, especially, as Sean was saying, old white men in power with their old ways. So, technically speaking, with the midterm election, yes, we need new blood, young blood, but at the same time, are people going to vote for the young blood?
Do we need young blood? Do we really need young blood? Because some of these young bloods don't know the history of everything. So
exactly.
To say that is to say nothing, really.
And that's the problem. So what do you go for, young blood that don't know anything, or you go for crooked politicians? Choose your poison. as we
I don't fully buy that ideology that the young blood may not know what they're talking about or what they're doing. What I think it is that the young blood that's trying to come up and get into office and looking into changing some things as far as looking into what the government is doing now and help. Because you got to remember, we're in a millennial age where we have now everything is technology-based. Everything is cell phone. Everything is social media, et cetera.
And let's not forget social media because it plays a major role.
And when you're looking at that aspect, you have to get somebody that is savvy enough that connects with the youth, that has a lot of their interests in mind, and can show them that their views count. And
what
we've seen a lot of times, or a lot of politicians, those old guys that you were talking about, the older section of those of Republicans and Democrats and independents that seem to push along the same party lines instead of progressively changing and dynamically changing towards what's happening today and looking out for the future. That's not happening enough. That's the reason why when you have Hillary Clinton running against Donald Trump, although Hillary Clinton was probably obviously the popular choice to win the presidency, you had a lot of people that were apathetic in the fact that Hillary Clinton is just part of the old guard. Although
yes,
she was what people looked at, a lot of people looked at that as she may be a better choice than Donald Trump, but she's part of the old guard because she's part of the Clinton, et cetera. The Bushes, et cetera.
I want to look at it a little bit.
Wait a minute, Tisha. You got to answer, please. Tisha, the floor is yours.
All right. Thanks, K-Dog.
Yo, dude. This is the hot
I'm looking
show.
At it. I'm looking at it from a woman's perspective. I don't think men were ready for a woman president, and they're never going to be. I don't think they're ever going to be ready for a woman. Yeah, they're not ready. You're not ready for a woman to take over total control of your balls. You're really not. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. We had our black president, great. I just don't see it. Men are not ready. You cannot step aside and let a woman tell you something. Not even in your household, you probably get offended. So
damn right.
Men
no,
are just not ready. I'm just saying that's my point exactly, Hot Rod. You're not ready.
No,
also,
that's
I want to point out something too.
Hold on. K-Dog. Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Hot Rod, go ahead, man.
Thank you, sir. No, but to go on to Sean's point, I disagree because yes, we need new blood, but at the same time, some of these kids today, you look at them, you see how stupid they are. Do you really want to trust them governing your lives, making choices for the future? Yes, we need young blood for technology and everything. But at the same time, not most of these kids, they're not up there. Proof taken. Remember, 2 years ago at my birthday party, Sean, you asked the simplest questions, and these kids could not even answer what 2+2 is. And do you trust kids like that, when they get older, to govern the country overall?
And no, but you know what you have to do, and this is something that we've spoken about many, many times. It's called education, and
but
that's something that is not stressed enough. There's a reason why this country is the way it is now, because there's not enough money put into education to make sure that we can get to the point where the young people can actually be gifted and trusted with the keys to the car and not tear up the transmission, if you understand that analogy.
But, Sean, Tisha's daughter and my son may care about education right now, but once they become teenagers, they won't give a damn about education. They care about, like Sean Kato will always say, social media and being popular.
Exactly.
So you could force education on them, but like bring a horse to the water. You can't force that horse to drink it if it doesn't want to. We
I'm
don't
not necessarily
education.
Saying
but
force
you know what,
education on them.
Well, you have to force
education.
But you
know what it is?
You can show them a way. Yes, Kato.
But you know what it is? There's two different aspects of education. You have academic and you have the home education. You know, it's like, let me just say this. And I've stated it before. You have social media. You have a lot of these kids out there. Now, you could agree or disagree. There's a lot of kids out there who hardly ever picked up a book to read, let alone know math. You know, you see that all the time. They're on their phone. They're checking up on, oh, what's going on social media? Who did what? Who did this? Who did that? They're checking up on everything on social media. They're typing things on social media, showing off and stuff. But ask them, when was the last time they picked up a book and read? When was the last book they read?
Well, also, here's another point that I'll add to your point. When was the last time there was some sort of incentive for somebody to pick up a book and read? See,
exactly.
if you're going to get to the young people of society.
Harry Potter, Sean.
Yeah,
it goes to my argument.
Is that you have to get to a point that will appease them from the sense of something has to click. For the next future of math whizzes, then the future of those computer whizzes, the ones that are going to design the next invention that's going to take over the 22nd century, et cetera, somebody has to develop that love of or attention to a spark of interest in that particular thing. And it has to start young, whether it's in school, whether it's at home. And those are the kinds of things that happen, and it happens with politics as well. Something has to click at a young age, something that a child believes in. And if that person is nurtured enough, and this is where we come into a lot of the things with parents not teaching a lot of their children a lot of those things that they should be teaching their kids because they themselves aren't equipped in a lot of instances on how to nurture their own children. But overall, you got to be able to find that interest that gets them going. It doesn't have to be something forced. It can be something that you present to the child and they stay interested in it. And if it's a real true love for whatever that child has, there's a good possibility that they will take that love and they will grow with it. And then they will become the next politician, the next police officer, the next lawyer, the next director of a movie. You never know. But the way everything is set up now, all of these kids that are out there they're already doomed to fail at the beginning. Once they get out of the womb, they're already doomed in the first place, and that has to change.
Well, because you know what, Sean, to add to your point as well, it's also up to the parents of these children because, listen, if the parents themselves are not that well educated, are not that, let's just say, hip to the social issue, or reading books to their children, you know, taking their child to the library, taking their child to the museum, being cultural to their children, what can that child produce if they're not learning it in the home?
Well, before I say something, Tisha, anything you'd like to add on to that?
Please.
No, I just think this generation needs to be actually motivated, and dealing with motivation and motivating them actually works. So,
true. But I'm listening to both Sean and Kato's point of view, and they are right to a certain degree. But once again, we fail to realize, yes, education is a key and all the other stuff we need to. Yes, it starts from home. But now home, a lot of kids today come from broken homes now. And
exactly.
Now,
that's what I'm
today
saying.
And today, parenting is very difficult compared to where our parents raised us up. Now, you always have a parent at home back then. Now, everybody's working. And when you come home from working 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and you deal with the kids' homework, make them dinner, try to put them to bed, it's very hard. and still have an hour left of your daytime, of your nighttime, to do a show on Blog Talk Radio, it is very freaking hard as well. And it can't catch up to you at some time. Yes, you want to take your kid to the library. Yes, you want to spend time with your child reading books and everything. But overall, parenting, especially in America, is very hard. And that's why we have a lot of kids today who get raised up in the streets because some of them come from single homes, a single mother, a single father, who was going to be there for the child. And you know what? At the same time, you got to take care of your grandparents. That's a lot of pressure for people in America today. And back to Donald Trump, and like I told you guys before, do not be surprised if Donald Trump wins the election again. But as Sean and I discussed earlier before the program, the jobs are out there. The economy is good. If the economy is good, that's what people in America care about overall. Despite all the drama, despite all the chaos, the Me Too, the sexual harassment, people really just care about jobs overall. To
money
point,
moves everything.
And BS walks, money talks, and BS walks. And back to Tisha's statement earlier, yes, Secret Service told me years ago, where we have like a talk, I think when I saw former Vice President Joe Biden, that is true. Despite what everybody thinks, this country was not ready for a woman president, so men will be damned to have a president, a woman, telling them what to do.
And that's the thing. That's what's up. That's what's going on now. And people, it's been going on for years. Like, you know what? It's like this. Like, you know, it's not like the 1950s anymore, because you notice that the roles of women have changed since then. There's no more Leave It to Beaver or I Love Lucy that the woman stays home. No, that's dead and gone. Men get intimidated by that. They in a job and the woman's divorced. Oh, hell no, she ain't my boss.
And why is that? Why is that?
It's the ego. Unfortunately, it's some men's ego, like, oh, I don't need another mother to watch over me. And that's the sad part about it.
I think it also boils, it also boils down to is the base of power. When you have a lot of males in this male-dominated society, and they come along and they realize that they have somebody nipping at their feet who is just as qualified, just as educated, just as motivated, even more so in a lot of instances, but only makes maybe cents on the dollar that they make. And they realize now that they have a push where those days may be numbered. They get skittish. They get scared. So what do? They push back and do everything that they possibly can by continuing with the condescending attitude, the thought process of the entitlement that we keep seeing from a lot of these people that have money, that are rich, that are in government, and they use that to keep women, to keep minorities down, and keep the power base within themselves, that quote-unquote old boys network that we hear so much about.
Yeah.
And continue that same line of thinking because they are afraid that at some point women are going to end up in the positions that they have, and they're going to be shown that they're going to do as just as good a job, if not better in a lot of instances, and that scares most males nuts.
Oh, I've seen it up close. I've seen it up close. Like, you should see the look of the men. Like, let's just say, okay, in a job meeting, and the woman's the one leading it, you could see some of those guys in there, they get annoyed. Like, they try to trip the woman up by asking her, like, the most difficult questions just to see how she'll answer it. And when she does a damn good job of answering, oh, they get upset. Some of them look at them like, huh? How the hell does she know that? I'm like, excuse me. Let the woman do what she does best, and that is that she's a leader. But have respect for her as a leader. Have that respect.
Okay, we have 877. You on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? It's Bima.
Hey, how you?
Oh boy, here we go.
Hey, what's up?
Let me get my gloves off now. Get ready.
God damn. Get
what's
ready,
the question,
man.
Yes, go ahead, Rima.
No, I was saying, what's the question?
Oh, no. You know what? We're talking about parenting, children. It's basically like, well, right now, but Sean Black mentioned that, you know, the youth are good enough to take over politics right now because there's a lot of old white men in the Senate House basically trying to tell us how to live our lives. So that's why Brett Kavanaugh basically won the confirmation of becoming the Supreme Court judge. Because, people are still set in their old ways. And my argument is, yes, you have young people in there, but at the same time, young people are not experienced enough, or in my case, in some cases, too dumb to run, to become politicians. Because basically, can you trust these kids today taking over our country.
That's a tough question.
Think about it. That's what it is right there. You have to think about
Hold on a second. First, I do think that I do think that age is just a number. That's number one. And I do know that a whole bunch of old white folks, particularly old white men, have been leading the Senate and leading the Congress and leading the country, and nothing has worked for us yet. I think with young people comes new ideas, new generations. They don't have no connection to the past other than how it relates to the present. People from the past and this whole ideology of making America great again, they know what they're speaking to, as do we.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want to keep alive. That's what they want most. So I think I think there's nothing wrong with younger people making those decisions. It's just that the only thing with that is they're going to be mentored and trained by somebody, and that somebody may be that same old person to translate that same message to them.
True, and I agree that 100%. But you have some people out there who don't want to mentor these young kids, like. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. Like, we never heard these ideas before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if it's not broken, why fix it? Like, let's stick it to the Bible, especially to the Bible, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know the Bible-thumping people. You know them.
and people are still set into the Bible ways. And like, you have more youth who's not into the Bible that much. So do you go by the Bible?
Well, young people stop believing in religion, period, some people.
You wouldn't know that by all of the stuff that we've been seeing on social media, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I've seen them on social media, oh, my goodness.
I mean, Hot Rod, you just sent me something this couple days ago, somebody catching, like, the Holy Spirit in the church or something like that. So people really still do take church and take religion to heart when it comes to certain things in their everyday lives. Some people take it to the nth degree, and then when you start to use that and implement it into governing people, that's when it starts to become a problem. And you see a lot of these older people from the South that bring that into governing, and then they make laws based on that.
And they support the people who support their views, like I said earlier. Anybody, you look at the Christian, you look at the evangelical Christians who are part of, like, the conservative party, and you see the laws, the very same laws that they support, you know, they look at, like for example, like I said before, abortion, women's rights, gay rights. They look at that, they have so much against it that, you know, anybody who shares that point of view, those are the people that they're going to support.
Okay, well, before I go to the next topic, I want to bring this quick story up that I sent a video earlier to Sean Black. Something that happened in Brooklyn in a Jewish neighborhood to our Jewish listeners out there. There was some type of march or something going on in the streets in Brooklyn, and there was a video shot shown of a Jewish man resisting arrest by cops, but he was, like, really, like, forced fighting back with these cops. And it took four cops to take this guy down to arrest him. And, of course, you know, everybody in the Jewish community was yelling and screaming at the cops. But as this man was fighting four or five cops back of resisting arrest, no weapons were drawn towards him, no batons, no tasers, no beatdowns, no kicks. Five cops, one guy. Well, there's countless stories of weapons and beatdowns. Perfect example, Eric Garner, years ago, back in August, was choked to the ground, and all he had is hands up. Now, bring it to that story. Sean, were you surprised by that while I saw you that video earlier?
Very surprised, and yet not surprised at all. And the reason why I say that is because in the Jewish community and a lot of Jewish communities in the country are well unified, and a lot of times they don't necessarily have the government in their pocket, so to speak, if you understand where I'm coming from, in this sense. When you hear about African Americans and one of the things that happened with them, a lot of times you hear about affirmative action. You hear about welfare. You hear about these programs that the government has that is supposed to be there to help people that need it. But the majority of the people that you hear on it, the media and the press, are minorities. The Jewish community, you don't hear. When was the last time you ever heard of someone in the Jewish community needing welfare? Or someone
whoa,
in the
whoa,
Jewish
whoa,
community.
Hold on,
no, they get welfare. Don't go there and manipulate that system. Go ahead.
Let me finish my point. You don't hear about it in the newspaper. You don't hear about it in the press in that sense. That's where I'm coming
right.
from.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to finish my point so you know where I was going. From that sense, you don't hear about it in the media because the Jewish community within their own community are strong together at all times. So something like the video that you showed me that happens the way it does, you don't have any violence. You don't have any beatings or anything along those lines because, one, the Jewish community is much better organized when it comes to taking care of their own. They know that they have lots and lots of power to a degree when it comes to making sure that they take care of themselves within the community. And they have programs to help each other out, and they are much more unified. So I think that the police, when it comes to the Jewish community, I wouldn't be surprised if they were probably scared that something might have happened. Because we remember years and years ago of, I believe it was it Yusuf Hawkins? That was a fight in the Jewish community in Brooklyn.
No, that was the accident. That was the accident that happened that killed 7-year-old Gavin Cato. Gavin Cato, who was 7, was killed in a car accident, and that sparked a riot in which it led to the murder of Yanko Rosenbaum at the hands of one of the rioters.
Yes, and as we've seen, certain communities are much more unified so that when things happen, they will stay together and they will get things done much more peaceably. I don't think you have with the police the quote-unquote fear that you see when you hear about in the newspaper about the cop that was afraid of the big black guy or the cop that was afraid of the Hispanic guy. You don't hear about that when something along those lines happens. And if you see the video, you see exactly what Hot Rod and I were talking about in that sense.
Well, let me throw this question to Rima. By that statement alone, we ask these questions all the time. Why do you think black people overall cannot unify, even though we do try? There are good communities out there, but we're not as unified compared to other ethnic groups, like the Jewish community or the Arabs.
One word, hate.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have hate towards each other?
I feel like it stemmed from the whole field nigga, house nigga mentality.
Whoa.
That is still very much exists today, and one person would just argue that, I don't understand a hater's mentality, but the person that's leading, they is like you always think maybe you can do it better than them, or you would do it this way, or maybe they're getting too much attention now. You know what I mean? Different from what it started from. I have no idea, but I've just seen it so many times. I've experienced it so many times that it really is depressing to me when we think about these things, because exactly in that situation that you just expressed, what happened in the Jewish community, that's how it should be in every community.
Exactly.
But it's not like that. It's not like that in our own community.
Nope.
And I feel like white people that are still in power, i.e. the people who own like a lot of music and music companies, they use black people as pawns against each other all the time, and they create this sense of otherness. Yeah.
Okay, Tisha.
You guys said it best.
Oh, I know. I'm good like that. Thank you. But what's your intake?
That's the hot rod for you. He's all
hard. That's the hot rod.
But way like to add on to that. Like, why do you think we hate each other so much, quote unquote?
You know
no,
what?
Rima said it
best.
Rima said it best.
The T-shirt first.
Tisha, take the
floor,
girl. Come on now. Take
oh, no. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kato.
No, come on, please. Go ahead.
Oh, somebody shoot me. Somebody
oh,
shoot me. I can't
goodness.
Say this no more.
Oh, Lord.
I'm
it's
finished.
A long sentence everywhere.
I said
everybody
I didn't have anything to say. Go ahead.
All over again.
It's like this. Okay. Let me just say this. Real talk, I'll just say it's about divide and conquer. And like you said about the slaves, about the days of slavery, you had the field Negro and the house Negro. It still exists today. That's the sad part about it. And plus, you have many of us, and like you said about the, and I'm glad you brought up the record industry. Yes, they pit us against each other. And you know what? They'll sign somebody to a record, they'll sign, give somebody a record deal just for them to act up. And you know what? They're sitting behind their mask and making all the money. And meanwhile, who gives a damn? You know, he gives a damn. That's sad.
Yeah. And I just got another question right now. Let me ask this to Sean. Yes, we talk about we have a black president and we have a white president. Well, this person asks, how do you feel about a Jewish president, man or woman? Taking
I
have
no problem. I would have no problem with that at all. I think that the more that you ingratiate yourself with differences in not only races, but religions, creeds, colors, you'll have a much better cross-section of this country, and it will represent, the government will represent the people involved that are voting. I'd like to see an Asian woman. I'd like to see a black woman. I would love to see anybody
whoa. I can't take a black woman. I'm sorry. No.
Why not?
Here we go.
Uh-oh. No, thank you.
Uh-oh.
I guess this will be the last episode of the Absolute Truth. But I'm wrong. He's in the line the second he says it. Go ahead, Hot Rod.
You're on your own, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't want no black woman as a president. That's all, okay?
Why not,
no
baby, Hot Rod?
I don't need no baby mama drama. I don't need none of that stereotype. I don't need an angry black woman in the White House, okay?
Besides, oh, please.
I'm just saying, that's all. I'm just saying overall, but carry on, Sean.
Yeah, well, as far as a president goes, like I said before, it does, to me, it should not make much of a difference as far as your color or your religion or whatever. It's supposed to be what the character is inside. Now, everybody is going to judge based on their own preconceived prejudices. Perhaps that's going to be a detriment to whoever runs. But I would like to think, although I'm pretty sure I'm going to be wrong about it in some instances, I would like to think that people care more about what's on the inside than on the outside. But as I said before, I don't know if that will actually happen. It's a people thought, but it's not realistic.
No, not realistic. But quickly, we got 10 minutes left. What was the story you want to talk about between the cop story and the kid?
What I wanted to talk about for most people, we've talked about on this show over the almost 200 episodes, we've talked about cop shootings and cop killings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a story, and this is a follow-up to the Laquan McDonald story that happened in Chicago. We talked about this a couple years ago, where the 16-year-old kid who was supposedly had the cops called on him for brandishing a knife was gunned down, 16 shots by a police officer, was killed. His trial for the cop that shot him, Jason Van Dyke, was actually found guilty based on his own testimony, et cetera, et cetera. So he is charged with second-degree murder and 16 counts of aggravated assault with a firearm. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is that we've talked so many millions of times about cop killings as far as African-Americans, Hispanics, kids, teenagers getting gunned down, killed by cops for whatever the reason is. We finally see a verdict on the side of justice going against the cop that actually took the life of a young teenager. And that's something that we don't hear as much of.
Oh, okay. Oh, Tisha, yeah, I know you want to talk about this topic.
Yeah, my take when I heard that was, okay, so one we get one score of justice, okay, great. Now, what is Chicago going to really do with that? Are they going to stop killing each other out there now?
Mm-hmm.
That was just my take on it. So how are we going to turn this into a even more positive? I would like to see them, you know, cut down on the gang violence and stuff. I'm hoping for too much, but what are you really going to do? Are they even going to care about this?
I think this guy's
sentencing is going to be chopped down on certain appeals. I think it's three times he has to appeal. It's going to get chopped down. So give me a break.
And the crazy thing about that is that the apathy that you just brought up in relation to what his sentencing may be is part of the problem as far as why we don't think things like this actually have any positivity going to it, because it's so far and few between. It's almost like what happened with the O.J. trial was that when we know African-Americans and other minorities had trials go against them, and then when O.J. basically beat the rap, it wasn't as much about O.J. Being found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
It was more about, wow, now you guys know exactly what black people went through when the system fails them. That similar apathy that goes involved with it. So I think a lot of people will feel that same way with this, and it goes to your point, Tisha, about what you just said. Is like, is anything going to change? We don't know.
K-Dawg?
Well, all I got to say is this is that, one cop gets charged. Okay? One cop gets charged. But, hey, who knows? The sentences are going to be trimmed into maybe like 15 years, 16 years. We'll have to wait and see. But, okay, but time and time again, how many times, okay, what about the other cases that have happened before? And why weren't any of those other cops were ever charged? Only
Rima?
One case? Come on now.
Rima?
Yep. I'm a little more hopeful. And I'm hopeful because I read that it has been 50 years, as disturbing as this is, it has been 50 years since a cop in Chicago has actually been found guilty of shooting while on duty. So that right there is a significant shift. Because if any one of us are any sports fan and, you know, we love our team, whoever we love our team, there's some teams out there that win once in maybe 20, 30 years, and it's a big, big deal. And for that reason, alone, I think it is a big deal, as well as three of the other officers are have been charged with trying to cover up what happened because one of the police officers testified against the cop. I forget his name. What is his name again?
James Van Dyke, yes.
Van Dyke.
Yes.
Right. So they're going to be under investigation, and they're already going to trial, three officers.
And there's already a documentary that was made based on this whole entire thing that was released just a couple months ago. So it's going to shed some light onto the cover-up and all of the other things that have happened. And maybe this is just a small little speck into something happening. I don't think it's going to be something world-changing overall, but it's something.
Right.
Wow. I have to admit, Rima, I like that concept. Thank you so much. See, I give credit to people sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
Mark this down in the book. I give credit. But I have another question. I'm sure Sean would love this question. We don't blame cars for drunk drivers. Why blame guns for violent people? Back to the gun debate again. Sean, what's your insight?
Take it away.
That's the same old argument that we keep hearing all the time. And the reason why I don't think anybody uses that same analogy is because I think a lot of people know it's all BS. Just that whole concept. We know what the real problem is. There are way too many guns out there. When you have 300 million people living in the United States and there's more than 300 million guns in the country, there's a problem. If I can have a gun for a baby that was just born, as far as for every human being living in this country, and I can say, well, you're born, you're guaranteed to have a gun waiting for you. That's a problem. That's what the real issue is. And people can look at that as semantics and say, well, you know, it's not people, guns don't kill people, people kill people, whatever that axiom that they use, it's a bunch of garbage. Because if you have way too much of a saturation of guns, and you do nothing to get rid of the guns, people are eventually going to die from guns. That's just the bottom line. Tisha?
I like what Sean said.
You do?
Yeah, you don't do that. You're supposed not to do that. You're supposed to own
my goodness.
Sean is not right all the time. He's not the hot rod.
He's right on
Come
this
on.
One. He said it. He's oh, yeah. very well.
Thank you.
He broke it down, bro. Right,
okay, K-Dog?
Well, the problem is this, is that the gun debate is going to be around for a long time. People are going to buy guns regardless of what, you know, especially now with this going on in the Supreme Court, it's going to be impossible for gun laws to change.
And Lima.
Time and time again.
Oh, I concur. And I think it all boils down to power. Guns make weak people feel powerful, especially the Ku Klux Klan that's still going out there shooting black people, calling it, what do they call it, deer hunting? They're not hunting deer.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it's funny overall that despite all the problems we have in this world, that our government is not focused on the right one. And talk about our government, I forgot to mention this earlier, to that Sean Black and I, we talk about how Donald Trump apologized to Brett Kavanaugh and his family for the inconvenience and the trouble they went through for the hearing.
No,
the only thing that's funny that Donald Trump apologized for that, but he did not apologize for the ladies. I'm like, whether you believe them or not, it was still a tough time for everybody. And to show you, once again, the old school white people, white man mentality. And you talk about a man who actually assault women, telling somebody else he's sorry.
Well,
now
should we be surprised when he's got 19 accusations filed against him in court, I believe, and you know he's openly admitted to assaulting people and all of the other garbage that he spewed. Why should we all be surprised that he would do that and not actually think about the alleged victims and at least have some level of sensitivity? You know why? He doesn't have any, and he never will.
He just brought the attention back to him. That's the whole purpose. People miss that point. He always does that with everything. The final, attention-setting trend is on him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something like that happens, Tisha, as a mother, how can you explain that to your daughter right away? You got 2 minutes left.
How can I explain what Trump said?
The situation about, a woman trying to fight for a right and, about woman empowerment overall. I mean, we're trying to encourage our ladies, the young ones, to be themselves, to be strong and everything. And when they hear stories like this of how a white person won this battle, you try not to discourage the young ladies. How can you explain this to her,
You're going to have to tell her the struggle still continues and you still have to fight and stand up for yourself and not take certain things from a man. I'm sorry. I'm not taking certain, sexual harassment and this, that, the other. You have to stand up for yourself. You have to continuously teach her to be strong.
And you also have to make sure that the behavior that's going on right now can never be looked at as normal or rationalized.
Yes,
it's
that too.
I agree. Go ahead, Rima. A minute left.
No, really. I was just going to say to always speak out, because she lost doesn't mean that all was lost, because statistics have shown that there was a 700% increase in the number of women who called, reported sexual abuse since what came out and spoke out.
And I will say this on the record. I have never touched Tisha or Rima in my life before. I never met them, nor I never saw them. So keep that for the record. 20 years from now, they're trying to sue me. I'm just saying. Maybe Sean may have a case against me, but not the other lady.
Oh, my God.
My name is your nonsense.
On that note, Rima, K-Dog, Tisha, and Sean, thank you all for another good show. Thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, I did not touch anybody. Keep that for the record. Have a good night. And as always, the pleasure was all yours.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all. Peace out,
Sean. Touch me, baby, Sean. Sean, touch me. Touch me now, baby. Come on, baby. Touch me, Sean. Oh, good night.
I don't do requests. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Oh, man. Later, y'all.